CNC masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Right now, let's go to Oxnard to talk with Mickey Spagnola. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, gentlemen. How's it going?
He's wearing his tank top. That's awesome. He's doing an amazing
job.
I love it. He's awesome.
Now, Mickey, I don't know if you know what's about to happen, but we're going to play a cut of audio from yesterday, and we need to get you to address this piece of audio from you.
All right.
Thank you very much, good sir. We'll catch up with you again tomorrow.
All right. I'll see who gets hurt today.
And then we all had our heart attack moments with Tyler Guyton. And some people are mad at you, Mickey.
Are you blaming it on me? I jinxed him?
That's right.
I'm not blaming on you, but whenever I looked at Twitter yesterday, the way that I found out about the injury was all the things that me and you were tagged in that said, I blame Mickey for this. And I was like, oh, yeah, he did say that, didn't he? But it turned out
See how I'm on top of things before they even happen.
Man, but now I'm scared that you'll be like, keep an eye out on this person. I'm like, no. Okay,
he wasn't the only one either.
Yeah, and this happens in camps. It's just a reality.
Kalen Carson, hyperextended knee, and we'll see how long he's out.
And that feels like another, like Carson and Guyton, and there's a lot of people on this team that I know fit that bill, but this seems maybe more concerning than your run-of-the-mill injury just because those guys feel like they really need time out there, whether it's Carson just getting reps or it's Guyton like trying to gel with some of his teammates. Does that feel like a fair breakdown of, you don't want anybody to get hurt, but there are certain players I was like, yeah, that guy will figure it out.
Yeah.
But like Guyton and Carson are not on that list.
Guyton needs all the snaps he can get. And, you know, chances are he's out 4 to 6 weeks.
Yeah.
So, you know, when you hear that and then you realize, well, it's not even August yet. So August is 4 weeks, right?
Yep.
At some point, you know, you hope he gets back. You know, if it's a bone bruise / fracture, you know, bones usually take 6 weeks to heal. So we'll see where that one goes. But, you know, it was at a position that, you know, you're sitting there going, well, we got to figure out who's the swing tackle. Now you got to figure out who's the starting tackle.
Right.
Of that group of guys that were out there. And, you know, that Nate Thomas had been getting snaps there. Adeniji had been getting snaps at right tackle, and then Steele came back. And Richardson, they've been moving him, Richards, I should say. They've been moving him around all over, left tackle, right tackle, guard. And they may have to kind of, you know, settle him in at one spot now. So, yeah, these injuries are starting to pile. And, you know, it never fails. It's always like one position.
Tests your depth.
Yeah, it's like a disease, you know. It just kind of goes there and, you know, and starts dwindling the troops at that spot. You know, and they need all the corners they can get. And that's why they signed Christian Matthews, a guy that had been with Eberflus with the Bears in 2023, but he hadn't been much more after his rookie year as a practice squad guy, but they need bodies.
Yeah.
You know, Diggs, the most he's doing that I've seen is participating in walkthrough practices, so that's a step in the right direction. But he's still, you know, he's still not there. Bland finally got back, so you know that was a good thing. But yeah, the injuries at certain positions just keep piling up.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you something, and I hope this doesn't veer too far off, but the curiosity of the journalistic news of injury, because you saw it. It spread around really quickly that Tyler Guyton looked like an ACL, and everyone jumped on that. It was like, he's done, out for the year.
Yep.
But really quickly after that, we got more information, and it looked like, okay, not as bad as we originally thought. And then D'Amico Ryans, I know this is kind of different, but I think it all fits into the same category, was talking about Joe Mixon. And one of the things that he said was, I know a lot of people want to report a lot of things about guys with injuries. My thing is, are you really concerned about our guys, or are you just trying to get something out there? And I wanted to get your general thought about, like, do you wait and make sure you get the injury news
Nobody
right?
Nobody waits.
Yeah.
And that's the problem, because if one person does it, like when that injury took place, and you know my official word, well, not official, but the word I got, that it didn't look good. All right. So what do you take out of didn't look good?
Is right.
ACL? Is it an MCL? Is it a bone bruise? No one waits for the MRI to come out, right? And then I started looking online, and I saw, like, I want to say four sites that aren't here that were reporting it, right? So
wow.
Here's what happens. You know, one person does it, and everybody goes, well, that's got to be accurate. I'm going to get it too. And then it snowballs. And then when one person finds out, oh, no, maybe it's not an ACL, then everybody reports that. That's the world we live in.
So what,
and you go have ahead. To the, I, and I feel sorry for the fan out there, because they've got to figure out who they trust, like the trusted sites.
Right.
And some of them don't know who's here at training camp and who's not.
Right.
And there are sites out there that just take everything that people do here at camp and then just reprint it on their site. And, you know, and people go, okay, well, I'm following them. They got this news. Well, they're not here.
Yeah.
And you know, it's hard to discern who to trust. And so, unfortunately, it's the world we live in.
And then kind of the other part of that with D'Amico Ryans, do you think that reporters are under any, I don't know, like obligation is the right word, to actually care about the players as opposed to just getting the information out there? Because that's one of the things. He's like, do you really care if Joe Mixon, I mean, is that really their job to care if that, like, for that player's well-being as opposed to reporting the news?
Well, I don't know that you care for the well-being, but you would like to not put something out there that is untrue,
for
right?
Sure.
Or not accurate.
Sure.
And I'm going to give you a perfect example. So 10 training camps ago, 2016, we were on the bus coming to training camp and got in the accident.
Oh, yeah.
That's right, yeah.
Okay, remember that?
Yes.
After we were on the bus to finally get back here, I started looking up how it was reported, right? Nobody was there. We were there, right? TV stations showed up after, about an hour later, hour and a half later. But the first lead I saw in AP was, and this, you know, paraphrasing here, but it said the Dallas Cowboys tour bus on the way to training camp in Oxnard, California, was involved in a fatal crash.
Oh.
There were four people on the bus, and there were four fatalities.
Oh, no.
That's right?
Oh, dear.
They killed us off.
I'm glad you came back from the dead.
Yeah, Kevin's only killed one person with a headline.
That
before,
is so true. Yeah.
And then the next time they reported it, the next time the second paragraph was the same. First paragraph, second paragraph was, according to Cowboy officials, there were no front office players, cheerleaders on the bus. The only people on the bus were non-essential personnel.
Oh, dang, that hurts. That does hurt.
I said, sorry, if my buddy. Mother was alive, she might have thought I was essential, you know. And then the next time, they at least had my name and the bus driver, Emery, who basically saved our lives, by the way. And, you know, that's another segment for you guys. But and then there was two more people on the bus. One was a videographer, didn't bother to find his name. And the other guy who was in the TV department, but he moonlighted as Rowdy. And they said Rowdy.
Oh, God.
Didn't find his name, right? And I read it to him. I read it to him, and he goes, oh, my gosh. He goes, I'm not a character. I'm a person. I got a name. And I said, look at it this way. If you had passed away, the Cowboys were going to have to get a new mascot because Rowdy was dead.
Pretty much.
Oh, my gosh.
There's no huge star or something, I guess, would be the only
so
option.
That gave me another, you know, kind of idea of what goes on out there reporting stuff. I mean, we were there. We knew what happened, right? But that's how it got reported, the first three paragraphs. So I was glad I got a hold of people that might have cared about me to let them know, hey, we're good. We made it, you know? So that kind of goes to what you were talking about, and it's just kind of funny because it was 10 camps ago, July 24th.
That's wild.
Some things don't leave your memory, by the way.
That makes sense.
Mickey, we were there last week, and you are there this week still. And so I've seen some reports from people that are there that Malik Hooker is looking good. When we saw him last week, he looked really good in this, defense.
He had a hell of a day yesterday.
And, yeah, that's where I'm trying to figure out, like, is he just really comfortable with this Eberflus defense, or – I feel like this Eberflus defense sets up safeties for a lot of success.
Well, most of what he did was tackling.
Instincts, yeah.
He wasn't thumping up. He was thumping down. I mean, he was laying the wood out there. and a couple of them, you were going, oh, that might have been a little bit too, you know, too much physicality, right?
No, guys on the ground.
But they told him we were tackling, we got pads on, and that's what he was doing. And I really hadn't seen that from him before. I don't know if he was trying to make a point or what. But I had, before we got on, I wrote a couple of things down here to remember. And he was one of them. And the other guy, Kevontae Turpin, had a heck of a day. And it wasn't little swing passes or handoffs on jet sweeps. He was catching the ball down the field and crossing patterns, you know, hooks, whatever. I thought he had a really good day because some of the other wide receivers, there's been more drops these first few padded practice than you'd like.
And it feels like Kevontae Turpin, as well as, I guess, the other receivers not named Lamb and Pickens, might find themselves in unique positions with so much focus going on those other two to have relatively open routes plenty of times.
And throw the tight end in there, too.
That's right.
You know, and so, you know, if you have those other two guys that, you know, they're, I don't know what they time in the 40, but they've got speed and they've got deep speed, right? And Pickens had another deep catch on a go route. And then if you put Turpin's speed on the field, you know, coming out of the slot or whatever, because a lot of times they're lining up Lamb in the slot. So it depends on what they're trying to improve. So the other third wide receiver could be an outside guy, Mingo or Tolbert, something like that. And then another guy that's starting to look like get more comfortable is Jaden Blue. He's starting to make some plays. He's starting to play football, right? He's fitting in. And the other day, I lose track of my days. It was Sunday or Monday. Down the field on a deep pass, he makes a one-handed catch on the sideline as he's going to the ground. So put his speed on the field with all those other guys, too.
Right.
Now, if you can get an offensive line that's healthy, can block, you might have something on offense.
Well, the next step to make that happen is for you to just say you'll see us tomorrow.
I'm
going to
just see you tomorrow.
Okay. Right. Look forward to that.
Not
going
to try to be a smartass, right?
There you go. Thank you very much, Mickey. We appreciate it, man.
Bye.
There you go.